Introductions! Amber, who are we?
We are a collective unconscious creature.
Is
Amber Hawk.
Oh, I was going to say, is Rick Sanchez going to be making out with us in a red wig in a week?
Maybe.
One of us is an artist. One of us is a farmer. One of us is a garden maintenance worker. You decide which.
Oh, wait.
Here on Cues in the Pod.
Specifically.
Pod Cues. Disjointed. I'm messing up the structure of it.
I am Cues in a pod. One is an artist. One is a farmer. One is a garden maintenance worker.
Sometimes she's a god. Sometimes she invents pens that are also anal vibrators for secret agents.
I did that?
Huh. Yes, you're many Cues, but in one pod.
I get it.
It's a James Bond thing.
Yeah.
Oh, God, how did we not do that already?
I don't know.
Shame on us.
We're terrible. Daniel, who are you?
Secular occultist. I commune with the moon spirit, who's a snake right now. And I know many things that are sort of hidden, but only if you're not good enough to look, because...
It's like hidden under
only
a blanket.
Only if you're too bored or too busy to figure it out yourself, or uninterested.
Yes.
And I am Tom Quackenbush. I write fantasy novels, or maybe they're real things, but in a fantasy world.
Yes. Mm. Yeah,
hi, Tom. Hi, Daniel.
Hi, Amber.
Hi,
Amber.
Hey, listeners, it's November. Do you know what that means?
No.
It's time for NaNoWriMo.
Woo! What is that?
National Novel Writing Month.
What do I do?
You write a novel.
Oh, yeah.
Specifically 50,000 words.
And 50,000 words is a novel?
I think it's like half a novel.
It's like a novella.
3/4 of a novel.
Yeah.
A short novel.
What?
It's
well,
a good start to a novel that you can then fill out further at your leisure.
Do most people actually do that, Amber?
No.
No, most people don't.
I haven't even looked at mine from last year since last year.
No, you wouldn't even let me look at it.
Yeah, I'm not really sure where it is.
See, that's bad.
I think it's on my Dropbox.
You should send it to me and I'll look at it.
I don't know how to get it in my Dropbox.
Okay, listener, now she's just frustrating me.
I mean, I could write that much.
You could write 50,000 words.
Yeah, so could anyone. I do. I've done it. I did it last year, pretty much.
Children write 30,000 or whatever they want to write.
But yeah, you can totally write 50,000 words. It's not too bad.
Yeah.
And it's fun because there are write-ins, and I really like their little tracking program stuff.
Can my cat participate?
I don't see why not. Cats walk on keyboards all the time.
Oh, yeah.
But no, I really like it has a stats page, mm-hmm. and it tells you, like, how many words you've written today, and, like, how many more words, what you have to write per day to finish on time, stuff like that. Like what your average word count is.
It's too late to help people this month, but for next year, where would I find out more?
NaNoWriMo.org. I'll link it in the show notes.
It's only too late because this probably isn't even going to be posted until after November.
No, I will put this next in the queue after the politics one that's going
okay.
up.
Well,
this
then,
Friday.
Even if it is the middle of November, you still can start.
It'll be the end of November. But you'll know that you were... false and bad and wrong.
To have missed it.
Aww.
You made baby whatever your favorite deity is cry.
They should. Can you do the stats thing like no matter like could you? I don't know. They should
do it in December. Yeah. Hell no.
Aww.
It only works now.
They really should let you do that.
Oh shit! Yeah, like license an app that can do the same thing.
I'm sure that there are apps that will do that for you.
That's true. It makes a little graph. Cool.
There's a Camp RIMO, I think, in July.
Yeah.
So you do something similar. I do not. In the prior years, I've written the first draft of a future novel in the Night's Dream series during NaNoWriMo. This year, I am working on a booklet of short stories because I'm giving a talk at the Tivoli Library on December 19th about Christmas. And I meant to write this Christmas book over the summer, and then I didn't do it. So now I'm doing it during NaNoWriMo. I'm up to like 16,000 words, because I have a problem.
If by problem, he means cheats, because he's a writer.
I don't think being a writer makes me a cheater.
I think it does. I think it does.
Well, I mean, if you're competing with Little Bobby, you know, little Bobby writes in his spare time.
I need more writing buddies.
Right. I will get you some. Speaking of, I have a librarian friend who is the reason why I'm going to be speaking at the Tivoli Library in Tivoli, New York on December 19th, probably early afternoon. You should come.
You said that already earlier.
I know, but now I'm emphasizing it.
Yes, because you're ruining the advertising, Amber.
We really don't have any advertising yet.
We advertise ourselves.
We do. We're whores for ourselves.
Ooh, speaking of which, the end of November, I'm having a gallery show called Gifted Hudson Valley at the R.H. Kahn Gallery, North Broadway in Red Hook, by what won't be CVS anymore by then.
That is true.
Ooh.
Yeah, and it'll feature a whole bunch of artists, including me, and a bunch of other people who have really cool stuff.
Probably me if I don't drag my ass.
That's true.
Yeah, Daniel.
Back to what I was saying. I don't know why we keep doing this announcer voice, but we keep doing it. My library friend, Veronica, linked me to someone. We're recording this on November 5th. This person has almost 300,000 words.
Yep.
Supposedly. Well, I joked with her that clearly in this person's novel, their characters are reading the complete Wikipedia pages of Lord of the Rings characters. There's really no other way that you... Or maybe their characters are reading other novels aloud.
I mean, technically, like, with their word count validator or whatever, you could just, like, write a few words and copy and paste, copy and paste, copy and paste, copy and paste, right?
Well, which is almost definitely what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, although at that point, I mean, that's kind of similar to, like, you know, those assholes on Xbox Live that would clearly be cheating and then advertise the name of the website that helped them cheat, like, in their character name.
Yeah.
So that it was obvious.
Wow.
I briefly played, like, a Scrabble sort of game online until it was totally obvious that all of my opponents were just on Scrabble cheat sites. Like, they're coming up with words that no one in the English language knows. And I'm like, no, there's nothing unacceptable. So I just stopped playing. They're like, oh, you're such a loser. Your stats are going to go down. I'm like, the stats are meaningless because you're obviously cheating.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I say this as like a confirmed and proud video game cheater in, you know, single player. Like, I have no qualms whatsoever, or had no qualms whatsoever about firing up the you know, the Game Shark. But, like, what the fuck? If you're actually doing it competitively, like, you're not winning anything. Because the second you get caught, and you will get caught, like, it destroys everything. Plus, what's fun about that?
I do like, there are some video game companies where if you cheat in the multiplayer mode, they just put you on a server with only other
Dark
cheaters.
Souls. Dark Souls does that? This. Yes.
That's great.
It's hilarious because it's kind of called a shadow ban, but like the second you get logged in that server, you're just dealing with other assholes who, you know, ruin the game for you. So it's nice. All the assholes are talking to each other and...
Yeah.
A bunch of surly immortals just poking each other.
Yep.
it is unfortunately really easy to circumvent, so it you know, has limited utility, but it captures the stupidest of them at least.
I've never been a fan of cheating in video games, even single player though. Oh. Like, I'll look up walkthroughs or whatever if I get really stuck, but otherwise I wouldn't like do immortality treats or anything.
Well, yeah, it depends. It depends very much on the type of game. Like Devil May Cry, there's literally no point to cheat because like you don't get anything out of the game. It's not even fun if you're not playing it the way it's supposed to be played. But Final Fantasy Tactics, you can like edit the fuck out of it and turn it into a completely different game.
I did cheat at Sims. I accept cheating in Sims to give yourself more money.
Well, yeah. Sandbox games. That also makes sense.
I kind of would like to play it without cheating once, just to see how it actually runs when you don't give yourself all of the money.
Yeah, probably tediously.
Yeah.
there were certain RPGs I would play over and over again where, like, the grinding would get to me, so...
Yeah.
You know, It very much depends on the game. Oh, Shin Megami Tensei is an interesting case because it doesn't even matter if you know, you can set your character to max level, but if you don't actually understand, like, the rules of the game, you'll still just lose immediately, at, you know, the first level.
So you can just choose, or, even if
you are, like, you still have to actually understand the mechanics of the game mm-hmm. very well, otherwise you can't do anything.
Yeah.
Which is kind of fun.
I once cheated on... excellent stories. I don't know, Wizards and War, some sort of game... And I just gave myself the ultimate weapon in the first level. And the game responded by making every boss as strong as the final boss. And
That's hilarious.
I can't play this. This is unplayable. Oh, God.
I would almost appreciate that. Because the other thing that used to bug me is, like, a lot of games in the Nintendo era, you wouldn't get the coolest shit until the last level. And then it's like, well, what's the point?
Yeah, now you can't play it.
Right. You get it for, like, 2 minutes, and then the game's over. And then
And they don't have New Game Plus.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. New Game Plus, man. Mm. Like, such a good idea.
I was just hearing about a game on Steam called Undertale, mm-hmm. which is to say, the few times I visited Tumblr, they've beat me over the head with this game. And it is a role-playing game. Are you aware of this game at all?
The name sounds really familiar.
I dislike its graphics. It's kind of
Earthbound-y.
It's clearly based on Earthbound.
Oh, wait, is this the one where, like, you don't have to fight the monsters? Yes.
Exactly. You can just talk it out with them.
Yes, no, I'm very, actually very interested in that. However, I can't remember what it's called.
If you ever, like, play it and kill everyone, it permanently changes it. Like, you can never play the game the same way. Like, you can never get, like, the good ending because you did a genocide run.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Right, mm-hmm. You have to delete your save, make sure that you've scrubbed your computer,
right.
And reinstall.
Yeah, I approve of that. I like that option.
I guess.
Except, I mean, depending on how you do it, I guess. Because, like, it would suck if someone's a completionist and they have to do, like, to try and get each ending.
I mean, that's still on them, though. But that just means you do all the good endings before you do a genocide run.
Yeah.
Which is how everybody plays Fallout anyways.
But yeah, that's the other way I cheated in one video game, because we had a ROM or whatever running, so I could, save it when you're not supposed to be able to save it, which makes it so much easier sometimes. No,
again, it's that question of, like effort expended versus actual time that you have, especially for a lot of the older games that were not designed for, you know, adults who have jobs and things
to do. I used to play role-playing games while I worked out on a little stair-stepper thing. Mm-hmm. And I would do, like, a couple cheats just so I was interested. Like, I didn't want to be working out and then to die, basically. So, I would have the immortality cheat. But I didn't do anything else. Like, I still had to make the levels on my own.
Yeah, and isn't that kind of a hilarious thing? It's your own experience, but you still have to, like, I don't know, we still have to kind of justify it and set rules and determine what's okay and what's not. But it's ultimately, like,
an individual
experience.
Yeah.
Right. I always do that with reality, because, like, I don't like watching TV. I feel like I should be doing something while I'm watching things most of the time. And so it's like, well, if I'm on my elliptical, I can watch these shows. That's fine, because I'm still doing something.
Yeah, you're doing work.
Right. Yeah. I always have to
doing work sometimes while watching stuff, but I usually do the opposite. Like, sometimes I'm working on something, I'm like, well, I might as well watch something. Like, I have a bunch of bracelets to make or whatever. I was making foam paper chains this time, which never sold, but I made a bunch of them. And I would sit and watch, what's it called? Neil Gaiman? Stardust. I watch Stardust way too many times while making these things. And I think I was making, like, a Yoko cosplay or two or whatever. But yeah, I'll just, like, watch things repeatedly.
Yeah. See, I can tell that's, like, why I can't ever consider myself an actual artist or entrepreneur of any sort. Because, like, I do not have that. If I feel that way about doing the slack off things where it's, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's also why, like, people are always like, we should play this video game. And I'm like... No, because if I turn it on, I should be like, well, this is time I could use to write. Like, the light is dwindling. I better work on writing right now. Like, I'll watch someone else play, but then I can do other things with my hands.
Yeah. See, he'd just give them to me to play. Because I like playing video games.
I liked playing them, but now I have this overarching Puritan guilt. Like, nope, there's work to be done.
See, I have that slightly, but I have it in the, I have to finish this video game so I can get to doing work properly.
Yeah, well, see, that's closer to my own thing. Yeah. Like, usually when I'd be playing video games, if I didn't, if the game itself wasn't hard enough to make me stop, I would frequently have difficulty actually stopping. That's when it would be like, oh, it's 4 a.m. and I have to wake up in 2 hours.
Which is another reason why video games really need to be more accommodating to adults, because it's like, yeah, you know what, I gotta go out now, and I don't see any safe spots around, and I haven't saved for like an hour. I don't want to lose this progress. Like, I'm an adult. I can't just sit here and keep playing. I have things to do. Where's my save button?
Well, and see, that's what's funny.
I think more have save things now.
A lot of them, yeah, a lot of them now, like the really good ones work around that. Like, even Dark Souls is punishing as it is. Like, one, it gets you, you can't really lose a tremendous amount of progress. Because, again, you know, similarly, it doesn't matter what level you are in the game. It's actually understanding the level that, that allows you to get through it. But, yeah, like, even in that, even though you cannot pause the game and to make it stop all the way, at any point in time, you can log out. It'll just put you back exactly where you were when you log in. And then if you die again, you just go back to the last bonfire, which, you know, is essentially a save point.
Right.
So, and I think, like, even if you're thinking about older generation games and you're adult, as long as you're not living with too many other people, you just pause it.
Yeah, you could. Like, one-hit wonders.
Nano?
Okay.
Which, like, musically, like, what must it be like that you just touched greatness or at least acknowledgement that one time? I mean, I know Anthony Burgess, it's like, I am a serious author and everyone just wants me to talk about droogies and that's stupid. This book is terrible. Because he dashed it off in like a weekend or something.
Yeah. Well, but that does get to the just crazy thing about art and the things. Like, you do not have any control over how the public accepts it or responds to it.
And sometimes the thing you did dash off really quick, people like the best because it's the rawest or whatever. Like, I had a art class I took, I think it was a design class, and we had to, at one point, put up a bunch of, like, we had to work on, like, 6 artworks or something, put them up, and everyone would critique them or whatever, and everyone liked, like, the first one that I had, which is the one that I had finished, like, that I just looked at, like, literally, like, 20 minutes before class started, and I was like, eh, I really should do something with this, and I just, like, I just filled in some of the triangles. Like, it was a weird shape thing. I just scribbled in triangles, and everyone was like, oh, I love that one. And I'm like, yep, did that 30 minutes ago.
Well, I had that experience, too. Like, once I was friends with my psychology professor at Dutchess, and he said, oh, so did you write your paper for today? I'm like, there's a paper for today. Yeah, you knew that, right? I'm like, oh, yes, I'm joking. Ran to computer lab, typed it down, and I handed it, and he's like, this is amazing work. Good job. And I'm like,
thank
you. Yes. I literally, like, it's still warm.
From the printer.
Yeah.
There is something to that. Like, that idea that, I don't know, under that sort of duress, your brain will just pull the essential qualities out. You don't have time to second guess it.
And, well, did either of you ever read the book Blink by Malcolm Gladwell?
No.
It basically talks about how your brain is a lot smarter than you let it be.
Yeah.
So when you're just like, I need to do this now. You're like, I need to come up with this idea now. I need to write this thing down now. I need to make this artwork. Your brain's like, all right, you're not going to edit. You're just going to let that critic be quiet. Good. We're going to actually work this time. And I know that, I think I've spoken in a previous podcast that will be a subsequent podcast because of how I put these up. That I'm trying a psychiatric medication that's supposed to make me less anxious. And so I'm definitely like, I'm going to work now. Oh, I actually wrote stuff down. How did that happen?
Yeah. It also gets back to NaNoWriMo, which is part of the why it's giving you such a time limit. And, like, it does, if you go to write-ins, they'll do little timed events, usually, that they have, like, everyone has 10 minutes, and you write as many words as you can, and whoever has the most words wins a seal eraser or a sticker.
Well, I have, like, that's one of the few consistent things from various artists that you hear is that, like, deadlines are absolutely necessary.
Yep.
Like, you just can't get anything done if you don't have some sort of, you know.
Yeah.
Prior to NaNoWriMo, I was feeling kind of stunted with my work. But every month or so, Amber would have me write a couple page story for her CSA, and I could do that pretty well.
Yeah.
It's like, what's your artwork? Okay, I can write something about that.
I have the same problem with my stuff, like, with the artwork I've been forcing myself to do for the CSA pickups. Like, I do get them done, like, just in time, usually. Yeah. But I don't bother doing it the rest of the year. Like, I'm not, like, these are probably the most illustrations I've done recently, except for, I guess I was doing the figure drawing thing last year, but
yeah.
They're, like, bigger and better, I think.
But even with figure drawing, you sort of had to work while classes. You had the light.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And they also, well, the figure drawing thing, that's really cool. I had a program on my computer before I actually took the figure drawing class. And figure drawing classes, I do it too, is that they have a pose. You have, like, 5 minutes or whatever to sketch it out quick, and that, like, then you have a longer pose, and you get to, like, build on it. You see what I mean?
And so when you actually are letting yourself work instead of thinking about it, you tend to do better work.
And it's also about getting down, like, the basics first. Mm-hmm. So then later, even some, like, the poses that I only got to work, like, 10 minutes on at first, like, I got enough of an idea of the body or enough of the shape that I could then make a full artwork based on it if I wanted to.
So similar to the idea of, like, write first, then edit
later. Yeah, exactly.
And you're too tired to write.
Which is one of the reasons I'm very big into, like, I asked for a fountain pen for Christmas. I like writing with pens because then I have to get a first draft. I can't go back and edit. I'm just like, all right, I have the first draft. And then you have it in front of you. You're like, this is like 10 pages. Whereas on the computer, it seems so paltry.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like when I do write, it is usually because I'm in a specific situation where like somebody's given me a prompt or I've just had a short idea and I tend to write in Notepad, which does not have any of the, like, it won't try to autocorrect for you.
Yeah.
Plus, like the format of it is really hard to tell how long you've been writing in a way.
Yeah, you just, that's true.
Go.
I'm actually quoted on the WriteMonkey website, where it is a thing that just blocks your screen. You can tell it what color you want it to be, but basically it's very pared down, just typing, and it makes a clicky sound. Well, I make mine make a clicky sound like I have a typewriter, even though I've literally never written on a typewriter. But I sort of like, it's sort of like a...
tactile.
It's satisfying.
It's
tactile.
It's very satisfying. You press enter, you're like, cha-ching! And I mentioned in some interview, like, oh yes, I like WriteMonkey, and then they quoted me on their site.
Oh, nice.
As though
nice.
I'm someone.
Well, you know.
You're getting there, Todd.
I know.
I was going to say, you remember, you're a published author with more than one book, and it's not even self-published. That's something.
Know.
That's something.
I don't think I told on the podcast how there was an article about me, and then days later, Amber and I were at the grocery store, and this woman stopped us and said, excuse me, but are you the author?
And I went, just reading about,
yeah. I'm like, yes, I am. She went, I actually recognized your wife first, but then I figured who you have to be.
Well, that makes sense, though. I mean, that's kind of similar to how if, like, I had no idea what Neil Gaiman looked like.
Yeah,
I know what Amanda Palmer looks like now. I frequently still kind of forget what Neil looks like, though.
Yeah, I can see that.
It's all right.
I think, plus I've always been fairly recognizable.
Yeah.
I think. But it was cool to be stopped. And I mean, obviously she hadn't read anything I've written, simply what that article said.
Yeah. Which you haven't even read.
Which I haven't even read because I have anxiety and I can't read things about
it's
myself.
Fine.
I know it is. Several people have told me that it is fine. I still haven't, I've sort of skimmed it. I skimmed it once because they were showing it around my job and I had to make sure your name wasn't in it.
Yeah.
So I'm.
My name is in it, I think.
Yes, it's in there once.
Yeah, I thought it was.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I actually read it or not.
That's okay. You're probably not missing much.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's. I'm behind the scenes enough. I feel some.
Yeah.
Sometimes like.
That's fine.
No.
Oh, but I sort of had something about just like suddenly writing things. So again, this Christmas book that I'm writing, and sometimes I'd like fleshed out sort of skeletons of what stories would be, like clear ideas or like things that I sort of had been playing with, and I'm like, I'll just put a shellac of like candy cane on this and say it's a Christmas story now. Mm-hmm. But one simply said, children who grew up with chimneys never had the horror of seeing Santa like ooze through the heating vents. And that's all I had. And I'm like, all right. So I'm just, I started writing like what that would be like. And then then I'm like, no, my character's the only one who's ever seen this. And then it's like, so if you're the only one who sees it, what are you going to do? And I'm like, he's going to try to catch Santa Claus. But he can't, because Santa Claus is obviously too hot if he can just melt through faucets and stuff and just ooze together. And I'm like, so how do you stop that? Liquid nitrogen. And suddenly I had a full story off, you know, Santa Claus oozing through the heating vents.
That we won't ruin the ending for
you. We will not ruin the ending.
I like that.
Yeah, and it just came so quickly. Like, I didn't have to think about it. I think writing's often like a series of, okay, but why? What happens then? Why? And if you can just keep asking yourself why, you'll get all the way to the end of the story.
I'm definitely having weird things with the Nano I'm working on now. Because the one I wrote last year was just about myself. Like, I just, like, wrote things I remembered. But this one is actual story. And there are a couple times that I'm like, this thing should be here. I have no idea where this story is going at the moment. I just, like, randomly add characters. Like, I'm probably up to, like, 4 characters or something. Right. But, like,
well, you say 5. Random, but I say organic because, all right, well, then this person, they probably have relationships. Well, with who? They probably have enemies, friends. Okay. And they just start blooming.
I don't even know.
But you will.
Write it down.
And when you get to the end, you'd be like, wow, there's all sorts of foreshadowing. I know I've talked on the podcast before about when I was writing Artificial Gods. And I wanted one of my characters to kiss a boy. And she kept not doing it. I'm like, I'd write the chapter. I'm like, she didn't do it there. I wanted her to. And finally, I'm like, is this a plot point? This must be a and I'm like, and then I realize, like, oh gosh, she's asexual. And she's just sort of dealing with that. But then I went back and I'm like, well, I'll revise for that. And I looked and I'm like, no, she's always been asexual through the entire book.
Right, so you were just writing the character as she was.
Then I'm like, that's why. And then I realized that it was really important to the story. It added a whole other, like, level to the story. And so I wrote what I wanted to write, and then there happened to be a reason to it.
I do that.
And I think that that sort of goes with your writing quickly. Like, I don't want to get religious about it, but it does sort of feel like you're tapping into some collective unconscious or something. Or that your unconscious mind is a lot cleverer than you are.
True. Yeah,
well, it has, your unconscious mind definitely has access to more things. Like, I've always kind of thought that, too. Like, it's, that is the difference between conscious and unconscious, essentially, is like the conscious mind is focusing, but you can only focus on a very narrow band of anything that you're taking in, whereas your unconscious mind is essentially dealing with all of that information. It's just, there's no easy way to translate between the two other than,
you know. I struggle when people tell me that they can't, like, visualize things. I'm like, you know, you dream, right? Like, every night you have dreams.
I always think about that with, like, pain things. Like, how they always teach you to, like, visualizations. Like, imagine, like, light on this candle and all that other crap. But, and people, they're like, oh, it's hard, but it takes practice or whatever. I'm like, it is not that hard. Well,
no.
It's definitely a skill, though. Like, some people.
Yeah, I guess some people just don't have it, and we do.
But I think the skill is not being able to do that, but not telling yourself that you can't do that.
Right. Like this, or like, not telling yourself that it's stupid.
Right.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's, like, the imagination was one of the things that you get slapped out of you as a kid. Like, if you're daydreaming too much, you're not supposed to do that. If you're I'm trying to remember specifics, but generally, like, it's not something you're supposed to carry with you. Like, even, I don't know if this is a problem that, you know, current generations have, but growing up, like, I know I was constantly getting in trouble for that, and I did essentially live in my head up until, I don't know, almost, you know, high school.
I didn't have much trouble with it, but I was definitely over-imaginative at times.
Which I think is good. Actually, today I was working on a different story in the anthology, and I was literally, like, staring at desks, and I could very clearly see, like, a body with no limbs, and, like, I could picture what was happening. And then I sort of took a step back, and I'm like, I can make it small. I can make it very big. And I'm like, can people not do this? Like, I could see this disassembled body easily. Like, right in front of me. Obviously, it was not physically there, but I'm like, and that's, and
some people
of,
have trouble with that.
Yeah, some people
I'm pretty
can't
sure
visualize.
It is another thing that some people will be naturally better at it than others, but it is definitely a skill. Like,
well,
it's something
maybe
can,
not even naturally. Like, we might always have something about it, and then some people expand it and some people squash it.
Another thing, like, I've been sleeping on time. I was going to say sleeping a lot, but I've been sleeping, like, regularly because the pill makes me sleepy. But prior to this, there had definitely been times where I was definitely, I had not slept enough, mm-hmm. and I was exhausted, and I could write. And that's because my mind was still half unconscious.
Yeah.
Like, I was really not fully awake, and that's a great place to tap into. That's why some people write drunk,
yeah.
edit
yeah,
sober.
Yeah, that's what I was about to yep. say.
That's a good place to tap into. If you can just sort of freestyle and let
yeah.
yourself mm-hmm. flow.
Yeah, like, in my book, I'm like, I don't, there's a character recently popped in for two paragraphs, scraping blood off the floor. Don't know why I was doing that.
But oh. that's great.
He's yeah. a little kid, too.
That's doubly great. Children are terrifying.
But yeah, it's so weird. And he's the son of the manager of the store.
Okay.
I don't know.
But you will,
I
know.
Also have a weird thing with my story that I'm trying to figure out, which it'll just figure itself out. But since it is, it's like a high school, it's like a young adult book. And then it, like, randomly gets dark.
Mm-hmm.
Because the character got shot in the first page. Or
that's
whatever.
Good.
And now
that's
she's, good. Like, making friends. And then this kid was scraping blood off her blood off the floor.
It's going to all
weird.
Pull together. You'll see.
Yeah.
It's weird. And now they're talking about Matt.
And don't even question it. Just let it happen.
I know.
Don't even trip. Dog.
Don't
I'm stuck at the moment. Not really stuck. I just didn't have time to work on it today.
That's okay.
Yeah.
You'll work more tomorrow.
Or the weekend.
Yeah.
Get my word count up.
So what must it be like? You are a creative person, but you can only do one thing. Like, you only wrote one thing anyone cares about. Oh. Or, like, you're just stunted. Like, you write one thing, and then that's it. You're Harper Lee, where you write one great book, and then another book that didn't actually exist because she clearly didn't mean for that to be published.
Yeah, I mean, actually, I do wonder which is worse, to have only done the one thing and then be doing other things that aren't being recognized, or to just do the one thing. I actually think the first one would be a bit worse because you're still trying to make things and, you know.
I think it really, like, no matter how the outside is accepting your work or whatever, like, it is important to have some people accept it. Like, but, like,
validation.
You have to keep living your life regardless of what, you know.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to get, like, I have an artwork that thousands of people have seen. And I'm like, and people try and steal and everything. And I'm just like, whatever. I don't care. Yeah. I'm going to keep doing my own thing.
But if you were known as, oh, you're the gummy flow woman.
I am sometimes. I don't care.
Okay, so you still embrace that. I do think it would be frustrating if your creation...
It's a little irritating,
yeah,
but...
If your creation became much more famous or recognized or cared about than you are. I sort of like being a writer because mostly no one knows who I am.
It's true. I mean, we're definitely reaching a point where, you know, there are some rock star authors. George R. R. Martin is, you know...
Yeah. I think that is really what they recommend you do now. There used to be a time where, you know, you mailed in your writing to your publisher and they mailed you back checks and that was that. But now you have to blog all the time. You need to have a social media presence. You can't say anything wrong or Tumblr will jump on you.
Maybe you want Tumblr to jump on you.
Yeah. Maybe
you
do.
You definitely want Tumblr to jump on you.
Yeah, I don't know.
They're the new Christian ladies league. Like,
I can sort of see that.
I both hate and love that because, like, I suck at social media and stuff in my own case, but I do like occasionally, like, learning more about, like, the writers and stuff.
I think we all kind of enjoy being able to actually learn about, you know, the people that produce the work that influences us.
Yeah,
but yeah, like, it must also be horrible being on the other side of that, being you know, the person people are trying to find out everything about.
And then you can't dedicate more of your time to actually making the thing that people cared about in the first place.
True.
Right, which would, you know, normally you'd say, oh, well, that's why you hire somebody to do that, but then, you know, then
people want
complain.
It to be personal.
Yeah, then people complain that it's not authentic, and it's like,
I think you just have to do it or not
decide.
Right.
Do what you can without driving yourself crazy and you know, tell everybody else to fuck off.
I can't do it to some extent, because I know when I first started my Etsy shop, like, a lot of it's, like, tells you to try and get sales, to do social media everywhere and all this. So I was doing it a lot, and I got nothing.
Yeah.
And I'd sit and, like, refresh and be like, why isn't anyone looking or reblogging my posts, you know? And that wasted more of my time than actually making it, you know?
Yeah.
And I have been told that you can't really think about yourself in terms of numbers, like your hit counter or your royalty check. But you do. Like, you need that external validation. You can't just say, oh, I'm going to be inside the garden of my childhood and I'm just going to write beautiful things for myself.
In a safe place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's a... I teach my kids, like, there's this Rilke letter, the first letter to a young poet, where he's like, if you actually were any good, you wouldn't have to ask anyone if you were any good. You'd know you were good. And I'm like, no, but you need money, and you need,
like, we're human beings. We like social, gratification.
Yeah, people like me are an abnormality, and even in my case, like, even though the number of people that I require input from is exceedingly small,
you still need some.
Well, because otherwise there's no feedback. You're just bouncing signals into the void.
Yeah. And I mean, some of it you have to, like, learn how to do it your way. Like, my thing with the social media thing, if I handle it like magic, if you've ever heard that thing, that you do a spell or whatever and then you forget about it.
Yes.
Yeah. So, like, if I wrote something on my social media and then forgot I did it, I'd be okay with that. But I'm not that good at that. I'm better at occasionally writing things and then forgetting.
Because social media lets you know, it's like, one person liked this.
Oh, yeah. Well,
it's what I hate.
Fucking Facebook, like, they're very big on the whole, you know, because I kind of help run local businesses, you know, Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
And they're simultaneously constantly being like, oh, this only reached so many people. You could, if you just pay us this much, you'll see more. And then, like, constantly giving you these weird numbers that are contradictory, because we know for a fact if they didn't
artificially block...
Yeah,
I don't know where they get those numbers.
Well, they will... I mean, they artificially restrict how many of your followers can see your content.
Absolutely.
Unless you pay.
Yeah.
So they're always trying to show you the numbers about that, and to me, it's just aggravating, because it's like, I know how many people would see it.
But sometimes mine is like, this was reached by this many people, and I'm like... How? Yeah. I don't even have that many followers. Who are these people?
It's your followers and if
liking it or whatever.
Yeah, because it does show that web effect occurs.
Mm. Yeah, when I posted the article about me, it got like 1,000 views, and I'm like, I don't have 1,000 followers.
Yeah.
Like, some guy I don't know shared it, and I'm like, who are you?
Yeah.
You're not one of my fans. You're not one of my followers. Who are you? How did you...
Yeah, well, even our friend Valentine Glass, like, I don't think she does any promotion at all, and she still consistently gets, like, new views every week.
Yeah, that is true.
Weird. I always find, like, weird things, because I don't do much of anything on my artist Facebook page in the moment. I do some on my farm one, but not my artist one. And I still, like, randomly get likes and stuff. And often they're linked to something. Like, I recently made a Facebook event through that page for... the Gifted Hudson Valley show, and I got some likes and comments views of that. And I also had, like, I was in an article or something, and I got some likes from that too. And I think opening up my gallery space at RH Can in the back got me some likes and stuff too. And I'm just like, I don't know where these people are coming from. I still get likes on the Red Hook Community Garden page.
Wow. Well, yeah, maybe those are sad, nostalgic likes.
I don't think anyone could be nostalgic about it. Like, half the people in Red Hook didn't know it existed.
Yeah.
They're better at being nostalgic about things they didn't actually know about.
They still don't know where it is or where it is, but they're like, oh, that's a good idea. I'm glad that exists. And then the truth.
Yeah. And one person keeps trying to give me $50, but...
Well...
Why aren't you taking the money?
Well, they gave me $50 last year, and I just feel bad now.
Wait,
why do they want to give you money?
Context?
There is a seed grant for community garden people.
Oh, okay.
Like, and my last year at the community garden, like, I took the grant and I was going to use it for fencing and, like, revitalize it or whatever. And I did use it on fencing pretty much, but all the fencing's mine because everyone else left. And they're still like, do you want $50 more as a seed grant? I'm like...
But they do actually need to use it. So, like, if you can think of something, I mean, that might be worth looking into. But,
I think they literally
the
just
want to
give me $50.
Yeah, but again, because
they
have to use it, otherwise they lose it.
Maybe, but anyways, if you're a community garden person, you should look up into this community garden grant thing.
Yeah,
there are actually a few grants for community gardens and stuff. Like, even Johnny Seeds, you can apply and tell them what you need or whatever, and they might send you, like, seeds or tools and stuff.
Yep.
That's my two cents.
What do you think about patronage in the art? I know there's Patreon. I've right. literally never used it. I looked it up for this.
I'd like to use Patreon, but I don't know much about it.
So Patreon basically is an alternative to the... it's kind of an alternative to the Twitch TV model or the upcoming YouTube model. It's basically people subscribe. It's very microtransaction-y in the sense of, you know, like it's very cheap. Like, you subscribe for a month for a dollar or something. But that goes directly to the artist on pretty good terms compared to what Twitch TV would do or what YouTube's probably going to do. But it's not restricted to streaming. It's kind of like mini Kickstarters in a way. Like you lay out what the benefits of you know, ownership are. You can specifically say, like, oh, I'm trying to produce this cartoon or something, you know, people.
And, like, I think I could do it for, yeah. Like, it doesn't necessarily have to be physical. Like, even if...
Oh, no. I mean, like, YouTube, people on YouTube use it as an alternative source of income for, Sexual Lobster. Like, a lot of his cartoons are funded through...
But, I mean, like...
I didn't think anyone would call that fetish.
Like, my illustrations or something, I could be like, once I make this illustration, you give me this much money and you get, like... an image of it. I don't know.
Is it
like that?
I think it's more like...
Yeah, it's more like they're kind of paying you up front, and then you... It would not be another way to produce, like, you know...
Okay, I thought it was deadlines. Like an after thing.
No. It's like I said, it's very much like a subscription service. Like, people who want to see the thing you're producing will, you know, get...
Like, if people wanted me to post more blog entries or something, and I had a Patreon, then they could be like... There will be one blog entry every week if you support me on Patreon.
That is a thing. So I guess it kind of comes back to you know, the question of should art be a thing that you live by, or how, like, what effect does it have? Because
right, you know, I know you feel like if you add money to art, you subtract the art.
Well, just because, like, as beautiful as the things Michelangelo did are, I would have liked to have seen what he would have done on his own, because he was
starved to death. Daniel.
Yes, but that's the thing, like, you know, we only get to see, like, his version of what his patron wanted for the most part. And,
well,
that's the part that bugs me.
They're like, well, why are all these witches there? Because King James was terrified of witches, and he's like, Shakespeare, my man, more witches. Hate witches. Show me more witches.
Yep. And of course, like, you know, again, that's amazing stuff, but it does kind of add an element that I personally would you know, like to not see. Because I don't think that you have to have that as a... I mean, clearly some people
you
thrive
have to live, though.
It. Yes, but... Which is where, like, you know, ultimately my perspective goes to, you know, again,
because
arguing
you're
about...
more, it's not a craft, it's a passion.
Well, a little of both, because, I mean, clearly there's a craft to it, but it's more like any of my objections tend to go to the, oh, you're actually complaining about the structure of the society we live in and not...
I agree.
You know, not a thing, so...
Well, I think I am actually fortunate, because... Mm. No one really cares what I do. My publisher, Double Dragon, it's pretty much like, wait, you're still writing books for us? My God, why? Okay, good, thank you. Like, they're not really, they're glad that I'm writing something. And I think the quality is going up overall because I'm learning how to write better.
Yeah.
But they don't care if I'm like, nope, suddenly they're all dead and gay and some are penguins. No. They'd probably still publish it. I wouldn't write that, but right. I could at least be like, I'm going to write what I want to write. A lot of occult themes, having fun with them.
Well, yeah. And also, like, in a way, you do luckily get to, you can kind of support yourself with your other job and not, you know, it takes a little bit of pressure off of the writing.
And I wish I didn't have to. Not so much for the money, but I would feel more legitimate.
Yeah. True.
And
true.
I also, like, it depends. Like, Tom is admirable in his ability to balance writing and having a job. Yeah. Like, I have trouble with it. Like, I have a job that's, like, part-time and stuff, and I still, like, my garden's, like, falling apart because I haven't worked on it in months.
Yeah.
Yeah, most of it's fine without me because it's fall. Right. But
But no, but again, like that's what makes the difference between a writer and, you know, whatever I am. Like, because Tom, we're talking about him like he's not here.
I know. I still am glowing because they said I was admirable for something.
Yes. Well, but no. Seriously, like the majority of people I've ever known who claim to be a thing don't usually get anywhere near as far as you've been able to get. Like, again,
claim to be a thing.
Yeah, no, well, I understand no, that.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. Like, people who are... I've definitely seen people who are artists in that they dress and hang out with artists, but don't make art.
No, and again, like, it's because he has the bug. Like, it's not that he wants to. He has to.
Yeah. I agree with that, because I have this fear of being illegitimate. Yeah. Not in the way that I'm a bastard, because my parents were married. But
I'm glad we got that out of the way.
Right.
It's important.
I don't know if they were sleeping together at the time, but anyway, that reminds me of something. I think before I had a contract for We Shadows, I made my Facebook fan page sort of as an aspirational thing. It's like, you know what? I am a writer. I've had a couple little articles out there. I'm a writer. I deserve a fan page. And I made one, and my girlfriend at the time, Melanie, is like, that is such an egotistical thing to do. You should really take that down. Like, you are nobody right now.
Aww.
And, like, she really, wow. I actually think I lost sleep over it, because she criticized me so heavily about making this thing, even though I was not, like, a legitimate writer in her eyes.
What's funny is I also made a Facebook page for a book that I never wrote. Because I wrote a short story for my senior year of high school that got a lot of fans somehow. Like, a lot of people liked it, and I intended to write it. Like, I've intended to write it for years, literally.
Uh-huh.
No, let's say almost a decade at this point?
Getting old.
Haven't written it. But I made a... it might still exist. I made a Facebook fan page for the story that I was intending to actually write. Didn't happen. And, like, there's nothing lost about my accent like that.
Yeah. Well, no, but it, yeah, you know.
It that, just is one of the various dead pages taking up the internet that exists.
That is true. I did want to say, while we're all gassing me up about what a good person I am, that the big reason I'm writing this Christmas book... that I didn't write over the summer, even though I meant to, is because my two Christmas stories on Amazon did really well. And I'm like, well, people must like Christmas stories. I bet they do. I bet if I wrote a whole book of Christmas stories, people would love that. I bet I could sell that. And then I decided that I had a good idea for the talk I would do in Tivoli. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'll talk about Christmas mythology. You know what would be really good then? The Christmas book. Okay. Because mm-hmm. I meant to write another book. I had this whole other book planned out. I talked to Amber about it, you know, planning it out more. And then I'm like, nope, going to write the Christmas book now because I'm going to do this Christmas talk.
Yep. And hopefully... Well, are you intending to have it, like, self-published or what?
The Christmas book I'm writing? Yeah. Yes.
Or at least at first.
Yes. Okay. Do you think anyone would want it for realsies?
Maybe.
I don't know if there's much of a market for books of short stories.
There's a market about anything Christmas related.
You've read the things I write. I'm going to kill lots of people.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
But no, like, I think at least you should have it out, if at all possible, for your talk.
That was my plan.
Good. That's all.
Yeah, and then you can direct them directly.
And then you can try and actually publish it.
Okay. Well, a lot of times, which is to say, it has happened in the history of the world. Books do so well on Amazon that real publishers are like, hey,
true.
You want a contract?
True.
So that is sort of what I'm hoping for.
It also might be cool if there's, like, a horror Christmas section.
Yeah. Horror Christmas section?
I don't know. Like
no.
Bookstore.
Oh, I see.
Like,
in a bookstore.
A horror section.
Because several of my stories are definitely horror.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah, no, like a horror
like, there's
Christmas
probably,
anthology
like, Christmas horror.
Would definitely be a thing. Like, that might be the sort of thing you would see.
I'm still trying to find a sufficiently morbid title for this.
Yeah.
Christmas tragedy.
No.
We could watch some more, like, weirdly racist Dutch, you know, Santa
Claus. Xmas.
Yeah, the Dutch X-rated are weird X's? When it comes to Christmas. I admire that about them.
triple Xmas, so it's not...
Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Seven. Team. Yeah, that's already.
I want to make a pun with holiday cheer, but I can't.
Holiday fear.
Ah, yeah. That works. That works.
Holiday smear, if it's like it combined with the visual element of like a smear of blood.
Amber, you're gonna have to make me a good cover for this.
Yeah.
You get on it.
With some blood.
Do it.
Sure.
You
know what you? No, Amber, don't use menstrual blood this time.
Yeah.
So I was gonna joke about I'd get on the book cover, put menstrual blood on it.
You can auction that one off.
Yeah, that'll be the like first.
I'm sorry. I'm apparently anemic though, so I need all the blood.
There was actually like one of the popular cam girls on 4chan for a while. Like that was her gig essentially, was like doing face painting with.
Menstrual blood?
Yeah, oh, I can't remember her name. She was like...
Face painting? I could imagine drawing on, like, fabric or something.
So like, sort of related, but not really, but like a month or two ago, I was doing something and, like, it might have been changing the razor. Like, you know, no big deal. I used old school safety razors. I was doing something and I cut my finger and then, like, it was... pretty significant, so as slowly as like, okay, so I like spent, you know, a good afternoon drawing on my face and those pictures exist on my phone somewhere and I keep forgetting to delete them.
Yes.
Somebody will see those by accident and
your lady friend will see them. And she'll like them.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know a lot about your lady friend, but I know that.
Well, yeah, I don't know. We'll see. They're not pumpkins carved like dinosaurs.
What else can we say in honor of National Novel Writing Month?
I don't know. That's what we're doing here.
We're writing, yo.
You know what sucks, which hasn't really happened to me too much, is when two or three or several people pull the same idea out of the cloud, and suddenly there's all sorts of, like, I have this great idea for a movie / book / song, and then literally everyone has that same idea.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're entrenched in the same culture, so... whatever referent infected you was there.
I think the key there is just to, you know, if you think too many other people are doing it, you know, do yours, hold on to it, see how bad everybody else does it, and then if you actually can do it way better, then you can, like, bring it out a little bit later.
Yeah.
But then people just think you're copying them.
Well, I don't think that matters as much as whether or not it's better. Like,
okay.
Because, again, we just watched the, you know, the thing on Battle Royale, like, CinemaSins, and it was spent most of its time talking about, you know, how The Hunger Games ripped off all the plot elements, which it totally did. You know, that's
yeah.
Everything is a remix, and you know, that's...
I don't know. There are definitely, well, I'm just, there are definitely different political backgrounds to both of the stories enough.
Well, but, I mean, but they are essentially the same idea. Like, yes, Hunger Games is its own thing, but it is clear how many, like, elements and plot elements, but that's the point. Like, I don't think it would be hard to argue that Hunger Games is probably overall a better story. It makes way more sense, or at least it gave itself better context.
I think it also depends on culturally. Like, Battle Royale might make even more sense, like, in Japan than it does to us.
I'm sure, like, as a satire.
Like, knowing a bit what I know about Japan, it kind of makes sense.
Right, right. It is you know, mentally brutal as the school system is, right. But
well, I also mean, like, the militaristicness of it.
Yeah.
And the cute little Asian at the beginning. Intro video.
Oh, the tiny one holding the thing. Cause
I do wish it had
Utah
better,
Chan,
you know, more future
Nevada
technology.
Chan, yeah, but that was one of those movies, like, all the squibs and blood effects are digital, and it looks really weird. But I think that's...
Well, no, I mean, like, the trackers and stuff.
Oh, right, right. But again, like, that's just a casualty of...
The time period.
Know, yeah, still not realizing that we were going to have way better technology than Star Trek in some ways.
I also wonder how the difference is because of its original... I guess Battle Royale was a book first, too.
I believe so.
I haven't read the book. I've read part of the manga, but I haven't read the book.
Because I do think it was the novel and then the manga and then...
It's a pretty big novel. So, depends what you're looking at for which one you'd say is better.
Yeah, well, but again, like, the same basic plot, but, you know, Hunger Games written way later, maybe she didn't even have an idea that it existed.
She may not have.
I'm sure she probably did.
Yeah, I think officially she claims that she had no idea.
Which you'd have to, regardless of what the truth was. But yeah, so, you know, still clearly you can successfully retell certain types of stories or read certain types of ideas, providing that you have a different or interesting enough take on it.
Although sometimes what sucks is that so often, like, there's a really, or at least I think, fairly good original thing, and they, like, retake it and, like, Hollywoodize it, and it's just really bad. And that's the one that everyone knows.
Kind of like when the porn industry figures out what people like, and then flood the market with like shitty corporate versions.
Yeah, yeah. Specifically, I was thinking of Repo: The Genetic Opera. You know it.
I am aware of it.
I like Repo: The Genetic Opera. A while ago, a movie came out called Repo Man or whatever. It was the same similar concept, but like.
Not a musical.
I didn't think there was any connection
whatsoever between those two.
It's a very similar idea.
Okay,
I haven't seen the new one yet.
And, like, everyone was trying to claim that Repo: The Genetic Opera came out, like, was copying this book or whatever, and it's like, no.
Yeah. Even Halo. Halo is like a direct, blatant ripoff of Christopher Rowley's The Vang series and Starhammer series. Like, to the point, except that his work is not well known enough for there to be an outrage. So read Starhammer and then tell me that that's not Halo. Yeah.
And, like, was it Divergent? I haven't watched it or anything, but just watching it, I'm on my, like, yeah, that's, like, the Hunger Games and, like, Harry Potter combined.
Shitty Hunger Games.
Who knows if, like, I don't know about the history. Like, that person might have thought they had an original thought and then created it, and the only reason it's becoming popular is because it's similar to those things.
Or, like Tom was saying, like, it, you know, that something was in the aether and, you know.
That's what I mean. Like, she thought it was original.
Yeah, and, you know, maybe it was in the same way that anything else is original, but you can make a clear distinction. Like, there's definitely enough room in the world for both Divergent and Hunger Games and Battle Royale, but, you know, one of the three is not very good at all, and, you know.
I think it's Divergent.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
I've seen enough to know.
I don't know. I will withhold judgment until I actually watch it,
but
or I guess I wouldn't read it. Probably.
Haven't you seen any of the commercials?
Like, I think it's fun.
Yeah, the only thing I give it credit for is, like, having a heroine with short hair. Like, and even that's not enough.
Harry Potter plus Hunger Games
plus The Matrix.
What, Inception? Yeah,
I don't think there's much Inception.
It has
in
an Inception soundtrack.
Everything has the Inception soundtrack. Wow.
Exactly.
Yeah. Although, like, I have to admit, that's the one thing I haven't gotten tired of yet. I still enjoy the bullhorn.
So
the
I'd watch it. I do want to watch it.
I wouldn't pay money to watch it.
Probably not. But I don't pay money to watch much.
But
I will pay money
I'd
to watch Hunger Games, which is coming out around the time this podcast will come out.
I still haven't seen any of those, and I haven't read it.
You're a horrible person, Daniel.
Well, you guys would talk about it enough while you were reading it that I didn't need to. And the movies, I don't know.
The movies are better than the books.
Similar to Harry Potter, I've seen all the movies and I enjoyed them, but
I wouldn't say the movies are better than the books.
All right. Although, I couldn't even bring myself to read the books. So there's, you know.
In Hunger Games, I would say the movies are better than the books because they can expand a lot or expand the world more than the books can, because the books are first person.
Right. Please don't do that. I know it sounds fun, but don't do that for anything other than a short story.
It's always so tempting, though. Like, I always, like, start it, and then I'm like, oh, never mind.
Well, like,
can't do it first
you can do that as long as you don't lock yourself into it, because, like, it sounds like in that case she wouldn't let any other parts of the story happen from other characters' perspectives.
No,
she couldn't.
It was all first person.
And that meant that Katniss had to keep passing out while important things happened to other people.
Yeah. But see, like, the obvious choice there would just to be, like, allow yourself to then be in the first person perspective of other people, which I don't think would be that hard. You can just do the classic.
I think the best way to do it is to have an eye, but have the eye be a disembodied narrator.
Yeah. Oh, like yeah,
like Lemony Snicket.
I love Lemony Snicket, and I love Humfort as a narrator in Lolita too, and they are essentially the same person.
Oh yeah, actually no, I still haven't read Lolita. I need to do that.
Lolita.
It's good, but he's a pedophile.
Yeah.
But Lemony Snicket series, like he said, he vaguely based the narrator, at least the way he did the narration, on Lolita.
Well, I'm Vladimir Nabokov, but yes.
Fine.
Yeah, I haven't... Well, actually, that's another series. Like, I think I have the first couple of books, and I still didn't get into it.
They're really good,
too. I don't know.
The ending is really good.
I have to admit, actually, like, lately, it's been a while since I've found... Like, since I've gotten into a book series, which is kind of terrible, because, you know... I can recognize that out of all the other media, reading is probably the best for you in a lot of ways, because it does force your brain to do a lot of work.
It lets you do that cool visualization, hallucination thing that we were talking about.
Yes, which is a really good way to keep that ability also.
Yes.
But at the same time, like, I don't know. And when I do get into a series, like I'll do exactly the same thing I do with video games, where like I cannot stop reading a book until my body physically like falls asleep or passes out. But
well,
that also
means
that's
why books have chapters, though.
Well, no, fuck that. no, it's
I've always
if
liked
I'm gonna
that
stop
too.
Reading, it's because like I'm you know because I'm laying on one side with the book propped against my face and one eye open because the other I'm too tired to keep them both open.
I do that with books. I like. Read and I'm like, I'm gonna stop at the chapter. I'm like, I'll just read like the first paragraph of the next chapter, and then I end up reading like three more chapters.
Right. And then, and then it's like 6 a.m. and
I do recommend reading. Do you wanna like do you read other things though?
Well, I mean I technically read a lot on the internet, but I don't think it's the same because most of that isn't story. It's mostly
Well, I don't even mean story. Like I read a lot of nonfiction too. Yeah.
Well, but I do think reading fiction is definitely highly beneficial in the sense because it does force you to recreate or even I don't know things with narrative structure, because like if you're just reading technical details and things like it's a very different type of workout.
Read a lot of some of my nonfiction will be like memoirish or whatever sometimes. Yeah. At least I like reading. Nonfiction books that you can have that there's a definite sense of the writer.
No.
You see what I mean?
Yeah, I
like unlike I textbooks.
Guess. Well, okay, I guess I like that with physics books. Like it's but that's kind of the similar to, you know, it depends on who the teacher is like teaching you the thing. Like you definitely need somebody who's engaging if you're, you know, trying to get information out of it.
Yeah.
So like Brian Greene, you know. Although I still wish his second book hadn't been full of, like, you know, bizarre 90s Simpsons references and things.
Oh, that's obnoxious. I was reading a bit of Hyperspace by Michio Kaku to Amber. Like, he's definitely intending this for the general reader. And there's this part where he's talking about 26-dimensional space, and it is so boring and so dry and so confusing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I do like how with like talking about multiple dimensions, like the second you go over three, like you might as well be talking about 27 dimensional spaces because like it's just
you
completely...
can understand the fourth dimension. That's just time.
Well, no, I mean four space dimensions. Time is not a space dimension.
Oh, so you mean like okay?
Yeah, sorry, I should have specified that because that's a good point. Because generally, depending on the physics model you're using, time is considered the fourth dimension.
Okay,
but
it's a different thing.
It's not always.
So like. I don't know.
Yeah.
Probably can't understand
easily. Well, and that's exactly the thing. Like, it's exceedingly difficult to even visualize. You can, like, a hypercube, which is a fourth dimensional cube, or a fourth space dimensional cube. like you can draw a projection of it, sort of, but it is so hard to wrap your head around because it's similar to a cube has four sides or has six sides that are two dimensional spaces. A hypercube has like I don't even actually remember the exact number of sides, but all of its sides are made out of three dimensional cubes.
Yeah.
So.
Weird.
Yes. It's.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's kind of.
It only really makes sense mathematically. Like,
yeah.
Because our
It doesn't physically exist in this dimension.
Well, we wouldn't be able to perceive it because mm-hmm. our senses are essentially yeah. developed to experience three-dimensional spaces and or three-dimensional objects.
I was thinking something. Yeah. Oh, have you ever seen the weird chess? My uncle has one of these chess sets. It's like a three-level chess set.
Oh, yeah, that's from
Star Trek. I didn't even understand that.
Yeah. It's from Star Trek. Star Trek, yeah. Spock would play it all the time.
You can actually play it, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The pieces have a vertical move in addition to their lateral move.
Have you tried to play it?
No, I've never had access to a set.
You've never seen a set?
Not in person.
My uncle has one.
Yeah. I did watch, there was an episode of Star Trek The Next Generation where Data, like, was playing a Grandmaster, and that was where I learned my chess strategy, because his strategy was not to play to win, but just to, like, stall, and I was like, oh, that makes a lot of sense. That's what I'll do from now on. Because the robot man said it. He's my hero.
I used to play, I think my uncle...
Of course he is!
I think my uncle taught me how to play chess, and then I remember... Like, I was in math club at Poughkeepsie Day School or something, it was an elective. It was literally, like, me and one other kid. Mm-hmm. And then our teacher was sick or something, so we had to go to chess club. Mm-hmm. So me and this kid played chess, and I just beat him so badly. And, like, it was so odd for me, because for some reason I assumed he'd be really good at chess, because he was a rich kid, which is the weirdest stereotype ever.
Well, no, but it makes sense because there is always a general assumption that the rich kids would be good at everything.
Well, not even that. I meant like specifically chess.
Right.
He has the leisure time to get good at something so otherwise useless.
Yeah.
Hey.
Well, he just couldn't find the R1 button.
Played chess.
Chess is fun. It's hard. I don't think there's a good chess app. But it is pretty fun.
All right, well, like, there's at least one that I've played that I kind of like. Like, I don't know how it would be. Although I did play the computer a little bit, but it's better to play with a different person on an app.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They can always cheat. Which, if you've ever played Monopoly on the PC like I did, I swear the computer cheated so hard.
No, well, they kind of have to. Like, game opponent AI for things like that is always, like, lagged way behind. It's so hard to
yeah.
Unless you let the computer cheat, it's really difficult
okay.
to beat a person.
It cheated, though. Like, it pulled, like, the same chance card multiple times.
Yeah. Well, and that's that's artificial difficulty as opposed to, like, you know, actual difficulty. See, the equivalent would be
impossible.
Right. Well, exactly. And in racing games, it would be the whole thing where, you know, the computer catches up to you as the second you spin out, even though you've lapped them like six times.
That's true. Final thoughts, Tom.
They think I'm admirable. I can't believe it. Final thoughts, Amber.
Well, I was gonna give it back to Daniel because I skipped him.
Final thoughts, Daniel.
Follow your dreams. You can do it.
Final thoughts, Amber.
Whatever you want to do and whatever you want to get good at, you can get good at. Just practice, as long as you don't have a physical disability of some kind, in which case, do your best.
Wait, what?
What about video games? What if you want to get good at video games?
Then play video games.
But that is playing video games and art.
Sure.
Oh, well, that's a podcast in and of itself.
All right.
I wasn't saying art. I'm saying anything.
Yeah. Well, okay. I was gonna say, like, the question you have is if you should do the thing is not if you should do the thing. It's can anybody stop you from doing the thing? If not, then you should do the thing.
Unless it harms other people.
Oh,
maybe?
Yes. Consent. Consent
is
absolute.
Considering murder.
Well, yeah,
you're not good enough.
I'm not good enough?
You have to practice murdering.
It's true.
They do that in Hannibal.
Isn't that what video games are?
Maybe.
There you go, murder simulators.
Video games are what keep us from actually killing people. That's
I don't think I'd kill people even if I didn't play video games.
No.
No.
But I do want to kill everyone in Undertale now. I want to get the game just to kill literally everyone.
Well, but that should be the beauty of things like, you know, video games and books and things is they allow us, they're play, they're an extension of being able to do something in a safe space without actually having, like, to deal with consequences that are, you know, real world
applicable. I can see that.
And that's important. And that's my final thought.
Bye!
Because the robot man said it. He's my hero.